story today comes from John, chapter 4, verses 1 to 26. She shouldn't even have been there. Life hadn't really panned out the way she expected it to. As a girl, she had the usual dreams of her clan and her time, husband, children, happiness. She dreamt of a house among her people, in the town on the hill. But it just wasn't like that at all. She discovered quite early on that she had a problem. A part of her that she both liked and hated equally. She discovered that she liked men. Their touch, their smell, just them. She married young, as was the way, but soon started meeting up with other men. Men who were not her husband, which in her small community didn't go unnoticed. She ended up with this man, really having nowhere else to go, and finally admitted to herself that her life was a mess. People talked about her. She knew they did. They gossiped and tattled, whispered and looked. The women were undoubtedly wondering if she had, you know, spent time with their men. The men, well, she could guess what they were thinking. She couldn't even draw water from the well at the right time, which meant she shouldn't even have been there. Because of all the gossip, she couldn't go to the well when it was cool, at dawn or dusk. Because she didn't, she had to face them. Face being shunned, ignored at the best, physically threatened at the worst. So instead, she had to go and draw water at the hottest time of the day, the sixth hour, when the sun was at its highest and hottest. She shouldn't even have been there. She shouldn't have been walking down a hill. She shouldn't have been carrying a large empty water jar. She shouldn't have turned the corner towards Jacob's well, because she really should not have seen him. He was just sat there, next to the well. He looked tired, weary, like he had walked a long way, but he was a man. And he was alone. He was a Jew. She knew how it was. Samaritans didn't talk to Jews. Most Jews didn't travel through the Samaritan land, as sometimes it got a bit violent. The way the Jews had treated her people, it was understandable. But he still shouldn't have been there. Just sitting there, like he was waiting for someone. She walks to the well. No eye contact, obviously. Not for a Jew. Attaches her water carrier to the rope and starts to lower the bucket down to the water. "Would you give me a drink of water?" says a voice. She looks and realises the man is talking to her. I mean, this was a serious no-no. This should not have happened. She was so shocked, she heard herself say. "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" He looked her straight in the eye, didn't blink or hesitate, and said, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh living water." "What?" she thought. "That does not make any sense." So she challenged him, knowing the history of her people and knowing why they were on his mountain. She said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with. And this well is deep. And how are you going to get this living water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it? He and his sons and livestock, and passed it down to us." Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life. That sounded amazing, but a little challenging too. The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I don't ever get thirsty, won't ever have to come back to this well again." He said, "Go call your husband and then come back." I have no husband," she said. She'd never said that out loud before, never admitted it. Of course, everyone knew it. The community knew it. The men she had been with knew it. She knew it. But her to say the words. What was it about this man that made her confess in that way? Then he spoke again. "That's nicely put," he said. "The truth is you've had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't even your husband. You spoke the truth there, sure enough." In her mind, she screamed, "How did he know?" There was only one answer. "Oh, so you're a prophet," she said. "Well, tell me this. Our ancestors worshipped God at this mountain, but you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place for worship, right?" And then he began to speak, and what he said blew her away. "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark, we Jews in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews. But the time is coming, it has in fact come, when what you're called will not matter and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that counts before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is looking out for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. Those who worship him must do it out of their way being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration." There was a pause and she looked at him. Could he be the one, she thought. The woman said, "I don't know about that. I don't know that the Messiah is coming. When he arrives, we will get the whole story." "I am he," said Jesus. We all know the story, don't we? Jesus meets a woman at the well in Samaria and has a conversation with her, as we heard. She shouldn't have been there, but she was. She shouldn't have spoken to her, but he did. She shouldn't have responded, but she did. And because of all these ignored conversations, we have the promise of life. The phrase living water should have been known to the woman, as it meant water that was free running, like streams or rivers, not water that had gone stagnant like a pond or indeed a well. So when Jesus says that the water he gives is living water, he is saying that accepting him means freshness, newness, cleanliness for our lives. Imagine how she must have felt prior to this encounter. She was rejected, condemned, sorried even. Then, because she is in the wrong place at the wrong time, everything changes. Of course, she was in exactly the place God wanted her to be, hearing what God wanted her to hear, responding exactly the way God knew she would. This encounter with Jesus changes her forever. And yes, for this account in John's Gospel, we learn about divisions in Jerusalem, the truth about worship exactly who Jesus was. And it all matters big time. But today, it's what happens to her that I want to think about. Because what happened to this Samaritan woman can happen to all of us. You see, Jesus didn't come for the spiritually healthy, but for the people like this woman, those who knew they are parched, those who know that they need fresh water, those who want to never thirst again. As he said, the healthy don't need a doctor. No, Jesus came for the sick. He came for the poor in spirit, those who have had a bad experience of church, of religion, and said, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He came for those who mourn and promised them comfort. He came for the meek, those who feel they don't fit in the promise and promised them the healthy literally. He came for those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for God's way of living. He said, they will be filled. He came for the merciful, those who put others before themselves and promised them mercy. He came for the pure in heart and said, they will see God. He came for the peacemakers, those who could rather talk than fight, and said, they will be called sons of God. He came for the persecuted, because they have lived their lives for God. He said, they will receive the kingdom of heaven. And he came for all of us who love him. When you are insulted, persecuted, falsely accused, as the Samaritan woman had been. And he promises you living water. Water that doesn't just bring you life, but it means you will never thirst again.